All right, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Do I have that on, or should I turn? I don't know if I even had this one on here, do I? Yeah, good. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? The Lord asked. What did Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me. Brother, if I get too loud, I do yell sometimes. You just lower me, whatever you got to do. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now this is the only reference in the Bible to these angelic beings we call seraphim. And he laid it upon my mouth, verse 7, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for letting us be with our friend, Pastor Williams, and Sister Kathy. Please bless her and give her health. And Father, thank you for letting our eyes see, even our friend, Pastor Taylor. So good to see him and his wife, and many, many here, Lord, that we love and remember. Thank you for the church and their vision for the lost people around the world. And thank you for their kind help, their magnanimous help, Lord. So much they have given, and bless them. Because I know it's not only financial. They pray for their missionaries all the time. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. King Uzziah began to reign when he was 16 years old. And he reigned for 52 years. He was a popular and powerful king. King Uzziah was a good king, who led the people in the right way to follow God. He was first cousin to Isaiah. So you think about it, he was Isaiah's cousin. One, I want you to see that God wants us to get our eyes on him, brothers and sisters. Many things block our vision of God, and we sometimes are secure in our job, in our home, secure with our leader, maybe not this leader that we have in the country right now, but then we sometimes become ill, lose our job, our leader changes and dies like good King Uzziah, or maybe not dies, but changes. What would the people do now? The throne was empty. Isaiah looked to God to get a vision of him. And I'm saying today in America, we need to look to God. We need to get our eyes on God again. And we must look beyond our circumstances, no matter how bleak they may seem today. We need to get a vision of God on his throne, like Isaiah saw. For I tell you, brothers and sisters, God is still ruling. God is still on the throne. God is still calling the shots behind it all. Isaiah's vision of God's glory. He saw God as Lord and King who has rule and dominion. God is in charge. He saw God's nature. He saw God's perfection. He saw that God is incomprehensible. He saw God's holiness. I saw the Lord, he said. This is the word Adonai. It is master. I saw the Lord. I saw my master. And the seraphim called him Jehovah Sabaoth. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord Adonai, but the seraphim said, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's what it means. The one who is in charge of all the armies of heaven and earth. So one, let's get our eyes upon God. Two, see the effect of the vision of Isaiah. Verse 5, what did he say? Oh, woe is me. Seeing himself in God's light. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to see ourselves in God's light. Hebrews 12, 29. For our God is a consuming fire. What does that speak of? It speaks of the holiness of God. Our God is a holy, a righteous God. Then Isaiah saw his own sinful condition. And the seraphim were veiling their faces from God's glory, and they were crying, I can't shout like they were, but holy, 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 how we say in India, Parishuddha, 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 holy, holy, holy. Yeah, am I correct that word? Parishuddha, I've heard you say, holy, 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 they're doing. And he says, Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips, because I have an unclean heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And this is always the result of seeing God. When I see God, brothers and sisters, I see myself in the true light. The one who is proud has yet to have a vision of God like Isaiah saw that day. I see third, that Isaiah saw God in his love and grace. Not only did he see the holiness of God, but he saw God's love and he saw God's grace. Because a seraphim sent from the throne of God brought a live coal from the altar before the throne of God. And with that burning hot coal, he touched the lips of Isaiah with it. And what did he say? Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Those are wonderful words. Look to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He will purge your lips. He will clean your heart with the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God first removes what would keep us away from him before he calls us, before he uses us. For we see Isaiah finally heard the call for service. Who will go for us? God has a purpose and plan for this poor world. And he uses human instrumentality like you and I, though we be sinners and though we be weak, to do his work. So we must submit to God like he did. Here am I, send me. This should be our response to the God of heaven. This is what Paul did when the Lord came to him while he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians. Paul later, when giving his testimony to King Agrippa, said, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul witnessed as soon as he got saved, Acts 9:20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? To be a witness, may we be a witness. Paul went back to Jerusalem where he had bitterly opposed Christ, and he witnessed. Acts 9:28-29, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Paul witnessed in jail, Acts 16:25, you know that. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul witnessed consistently He witnessed house to house, Acts 20, 20, and 21, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We do the same thing in India, but we do hut to hut in the villages. You do house to house, we do hut to hut. Pastor, really, we go hut to hut and pray and speak to the people and pray for them in their home, in their huts. And then consistently, Acts 20, 31, Paul said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. And then you know, Paul witnessed from country to country on those three missionary journeys. So here am I. Isaiah said, send me. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians in the 1700s. Right here in the United States. He said, here am I, Lord, send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough and savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort in the earth. Send me even to death itself, if it be in thy service and to promote thy kingdom. David Brainerd died at a young age. I think he was 27 years old as he was ministering to the Indians. They said you could see him in the snow, literally on his knees, praying sometimes for hours, and the snow would be melted all around him. He had a burden for the American Indians in those days. He was going to marry one of Jonathan Edwards' daughters, but he became sick and ill and died. Jesus is coming soon, brothers and sisters, perhaps today. Tomorrow will be too late to reach the multiplied millions, even, I must say, billions, with the message of salvation. The latest statistics reveal 2 to 3 people die every second, as you know. 114 per minute, 6,849 per hour, 164,000 people per day around the world. For a total of about 60 to 70 million people who pass out into eternity. Many believers, really, we are challenged to win the souls for Jesus Christ. Praying Hyde, the missionary to India, said, Father, give me these souls or I die. We need to have that passion like Praying Hyde to India. He was a missionary in the late 1800s and early 1900s. It was to the state of Punjab where I showed you I was with Pastor Pradeep, that man, in that area, that he was called. He died in his early 50s with a brain tumor. Praying Hyde never married, and he was able to devote his whole life to the service of Jesus Christ. He was known for long periods of sincere prayer to God. Hyde began leading his fellow missionaries in intercession for India. So deep was his call to prayer that by 1899, he began spending entire nights face down before God praying for India, praying for souls. The year before he died, he trusted the Lord to help him lead 2 Indian souls a day to Christ. And at the end of the year, it was over 800 souls that had come to the Lord. God gave him an average of 2 per day, like he had trusted and requested. The year that he died, until he was no longer able to get out of his bed because of the tumor, he trusted the Lord for 4 souls a day, and God gave him that. On the trains, Pastor, you want an experience? Ride the Indian trains. They haven't changed much since his day, I'm telling you. But on the trains, in the markets, wherever he was, he would witness for Jesus Christ in Punjab and in northern India. As the clock ticks, as the minutes and hours rapidly go by, I tell you, my friends here, there is one theme on the heart of Christ. Jesus, what is most important to you? You know his answer? To seek and to save that which is lost. Why? Because every day heaven and hell are ready to receive people. Heaven opens every moment, I told you, I explained to you, for unbelievers. Heaven opens and has Jesus waiting to receive the believers. Jesus told us, Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I beg you, I plead with you, pray for us, pray for India. We have so much to do. We need more help. We need more people. Come short term. Come long term if you can. Pray if you cannot come. And many already give. I'm not asking for money. I don't care about money at all. But we need people for the fields. We need people for the harvest. John 20:21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. See, we didn't get to explain. I didn't get to show you the three churches of the 164 that God has helped him to build. Three of them have been bulldozed to the ground by the Hindu radicals. A law was passed while I was there earlier this year. It's called an anti-conversion law that they're using to attack Christians and the pastors for bringing people to Jesus Christ. And it has a 15-year penalty if you are caught so-called coercing someone to become a Christian. And they are arresting our pastors. They are beating our pastors. They are coming into our churches. Pastor, some of you know, was arrested more than 24 times. More than 24 times over these decades here in India. Falsely. Because he's preaching the gospel on the streets. He was beaten and bloodied more than 40 times, I tell you. Not small sometimes, Pastor. Sometimes big. Beaten with rods. Stones cast at him. And like that story he gave you last night where they didn't connect, many times they connected. Many times he suffered for the Lord. That's what's going on today, my brothers and sisters. But I say, through it all, God is burdened for the unreached. He gave his most prized possession, you know, his only begotten Son, for the world to be damned? No, for the world to be saved, for people to believe. We can see God's missionary heart all through the Bible. And it's a burning desire close to his heart that there are people all over this world who still do not know anything about his Son, the Lord Jesus. What are the most 5 populated nations in the world? What's the first one today? For years and years we said China is India now, number one. What you saw, 1.42 billion people. Or if you know the Indian style of counting, it's 142 crores. 80% Hindu, 13% Muslim. Pastor and I have figured out maybe about 5% Christian. The government says 2, but there's a lot more that they don't know about. And in some of the states, 20%, 30%. I'd like to hope we had a little hand in some of that, Pastor, okay? Our other friends. China, over 1.4 billion also. 74% non-religious, 18% Buddhist, 5% Christian. Pray for China. Pray for them. Oh, my dear Heavenly Father, pray for them. USA, 335 million people. Now 71% claim to be Christian. Indonesia, 273 million, 87% Muslim, 10% Christian. Fifth largest by population, Brazil, 211 million people, 65% Roman Catholic, the highest Catholic population in the world in Brazil. I'm just telling you, we got a lot to do. Look at the great need in India. The vast majority of people in the world do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This year, 2023, there are about 700,000 villages in India. 700,000 villages, not counting the cities. And good majority never have heard the gospel. Romans chapter 5:15, Paul said in verse 20-21, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. They that have not heard, they shall understand. Pastor and I, we want to go where no man has gone before. Just with the gospel, you know, and really bring it to the people. That's why I was interested in him 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, because he had reached already 70 villages. Now it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, okay, of new places where there's no church, no synagogue, no Jehovah's Witnesses, no Mormons, nothing. Hindu temples, sometimes a Muslim mosque, no church. Paul wanted to find a place where nobody heard of Christ before. And it's time for you and I, even here in America, to go tell somebody else who has never heard the gospel one time. Brother or sister, let us do something for Jesus. I'm preaching to me too. Let's not just talk about it, let's do it. One soul is worth more than the whole world. And Jesus is happy with churches that are soul-winning churches. He that winneth souls is wise. Okay, Jesus, would you help me? I'm weak. I'm frail. I want to be one of the greatest soul winners you've ever had. And Jesus said, would you pray more for the lost? I'll help you. A lot of people in this area, a lot of people in this town, this city, are mine. But you've got to tell them. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still alive. I can go soul winning for you. I will commit my life to you and do my best for you. Now, I'll close with this, and I've only preached about 19 minutes. I'm going to tell you one last story. I have decided to come to Jesus? Here, I didn't tell you this. Because for years and years, I looked in our songbook, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, the Billy Graham Crusades, they made that famous decades ago. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's said in there, written by an Indian prince from Assam. That's northeastern India next to Nepal and Burma. Myanmar now. I said, Lord, I'd like to find out about the truth of that song. And so I found out some. At least the tradition has come down to us, and I believe it. Because when I go to Nagaland and to Manipur, they were once headhunting peoples. Do you know? You know that? They were headhunters there. And they show me the cupboards. I have the photos of them, of all of the heads. Sorry, children, but the heads that were collected. But the missionaries brought them to Christ. Here is the story. About 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales. As a result of this, many missionaries, and America too, came to Northeast India to spread the gospel. The region known as Assam was comprised of hundreds of tribes. They were primitive. They were aggressive headhunters. Do you know until 1950, they were still doing that? The tribesmen were called headhunters because of a social custom which required the men to collect as many heads as possible. A man's strength and ability to protect his wife was determined by the number of heads he collected. I know. Therefore, the youth who were going to be married collected as many heads as possible to hang them on the walls in the house. The more heads you had, the more ready you were to be married. I'm so glad we don't have that system today. Okay, son. But honestly, this is the story. That's true. Into these hostile and aggressive communities came a group of missionaries from the American Baptist missions. At that time, they were sound and fundamental, spreading the message of the gospel, love, peace, hope in Jesus Christ. Naturally, they were not welcomed. One missionary succeeded in bringing a man, his wife, two children, to salvation in Jesus Christ. This man's faith proved contagious. Many of the villagers in that whole area of Assam came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Angry, the village chief of all the area summoned all the villagers. He then called this family, who had first trusted in Christ, this prince, to renounce their faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man sang his reply. He sang these words, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered his archers to shoot down the two boys, the children, who had received Christ. As both boys lay dying on the ground, the chief asked, will you deny your faith? You have lost your two children. You will lose your wife also. But the man replied, though no one join me, still I will follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The chief was beside himself with fury. He ordered his wife to be shot down. In a moment, she joined her two children in death. Now he asked for the last time, I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live. In the face of death, the man saying these memorable words that have come down to us. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. He was shot dead like the rest of his family. But with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killings was moved by the faith of this man. Right then, he wondered, why should this man, his wife, his two children die for a man who lived in a faraway country almost 2,000 years ago? There must be some remarkable power behind this family's faith. I too want to know about that faith. And they shared with him. And in a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared, I too belong to Jesus Christ. When the crowd heard this from the mouth of their chief, many in the whole, all the villages gathered together also accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the song is based on the last words of Nokseng, the man from the Garo tribe of Assam, now in Meghalaya and some in Assam, North India. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Our Father, we have heard the wonderful cry from Isaiah, and then we heard your response, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And though he was a man of unclean lips, you purged him and you made him able to go to his people in his day and speak the word to them. Help us, God, help us. Raise up our children, raise up our young people, raise up our adults, raise up even the older people to have a part in this work. God, help us, we pray. And may we say, like this man, this prince from India, I have decided to follow Jesus. I will not turn back. Give us, Holy Spirit, only you can call, only you can convict, only you can give us such